open my eyes to behold wonderful things from the Word of God. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. All right, Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to commence here shortly. If you have just joined us, this is our last session in a seminar on faith and feelings. And so I want you to write that across your notes there. I think you'll learn more when you take notes. But we've been studying the whole area of faith and feelings. And then we've had a subtitle to this, Faith and Feelings. And the subtitle is Keys for Stability. Keys for Stability. One of the greatest battles that every one of us face is this whole battle of feelings versus faith. And so many times our feelings are running in an entire different direction than what faith would say. And we face this everything from you get up in the morning and you don't feel God, you don't feel His presence. But how many of you know just because you don't feel God, that doesn't mean that God's not there? If you're a believer, God's there. He's there. And so you cannot live your life by feelings. I want you to say this out loud. I cannot live. Let's say it like we mean it. I cannot live my life by feelings. Now see, feelings are like the waves of the sea. Feelings are up and feelings are down. Feelings are up and feelings are down. Now, nothing wrong with feelings. I like feelings. I like to have those good feelings. But if I try to live my life by feelings, my whole Christian experience will be a roller coaster Christian experience. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say by feelings. The just shall live by faith. So faith in what God has said really is the engine that's going to pull your train down the track. And feelings are just icing on the cake. You know, if you have feelings, thank God for that. Now, we've been talking about a number of things in this, and you may go back and review. Those of you that have been with us, I want you to go back and kind of look through your notes there. We've talked about weaning your soul, just like a child is weaned from the mother's milk over to solid food. Remember we talked about that? How your soul will go through a tantrum, absolutely throw a fit, when you begin to learn this whole realm of faith versus feelings. And just like a baby, you know, a baby, you don't go up to a baby and say, would you like to be weaned from your mother's milk today? I mean, you forcibly remove that child from the mother's milk and you begin to wean it over to solid food. And your soul is like that. And we saw that in Psalms 131. Your soul must be weaned, as it were, from feelings. Your soul has to be weaned away from always wanting to be cuddled and caressed. And so that you're living by faith. That's the solid food. You're living by faith. We talked about the washed soul. Do you remember that? It says the washing of water by the Word of God. Everybody put your hand right here on your head. I know this seems silly. Everybody put your hand right on your head. Everybody say, my soul, my mind, my emotions needs washing by the Word of God. And if you remember Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, it says spots, wrinkles, and any such thing. And you know, we go through life and we go through disappointments many times. Many times people are raised in abusive environments where somebody's told them, you're no good, you're not going to make it. You're going to end up like Uncle So-and-so. You'll be broke the rest of your life. You'll end up in poverty, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, these words go in, and many times they damage us. They traumatize us. But how many of you know the Word of God can go in there and wash that away? Wash that away. God wants you to understand you are a winner. You are not a loser. And that takes the Word of God coming. Now, see, your feelings will rise up many times, and your feelings will talk to you. How many of you know your feelings will talk to you? Your feelings will say, well, you know, you're not qualified. I've heard people say, I just don't feel qualified. Well, I just don't feel like I can go to school and afford it. I just don't feel like I could have my own business. I just don't feel. We don't live by feelings, we live by faith. And so we need our brains washed, amen, brainwashed. You need to get your soul renewed, that is washed by the Word of God. Now, tonight, I want you to write this down. We want to talk about the preeminence of the Word of God in the believer's life. The preeminence, that is the first place of God's Word in the life of the believer. The preeminence, that word preeminence means first place, foremost, the preeminence of God's Word in the believer's life. Let's look at this passage, Colossians chapter 1, and let's go to verse 16. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something before we even read this. Find your way also, and just hold your finger there, go to St. John chapter 1. And we're going to look at these two passages together, but we're going to begin in Colossians 1. And then if you would, just go ahead and find your way to St. John chapter 1 and hold your finger there and we'll look at that momentarily. All right, Colossians chapter 1, and let's begin with verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. It says, in whom? Everybody say, in whom?
In whom?
Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Aren't you glad that we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ? He is the sacrifice. He is the atonement. And he's reminded, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, I want you to put a little mark between from verse 16 down to about verse 18. And this is what we really want to focus in on, verse 16. For by him, that is Jesus, for by him were all things created. Did you realize that Jesus really is the Creator? Creator. You know, now if you just read Genesis chapter 1, it says in the beginning, who created? God created. Everybody say, God created. Now this is a whole new insight from the New Testament. Not only was it God, G-O-D, really Jesus, the Father, used Jesus for the creation. It says in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Not only the tangible world that we see, not only the stars and the solar systems and the galaxies and all that we see, but even the invisible kingdoms, the spirit beings. He says visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and please mark this, and for him. So Jesus is not only the Creator, the whole purpose of creation is for Jesus. I want to say that again. Not only is he the Creator, the whole purpose is for him. Now look at the next verse. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now that can also be translated this way. By him all things hold together. How many of you want your life to hold together? Praise God. How many of you want your finances to hold together? How many of you want your health to hold together? Your family to hold together? Read that verse again in that light. Verse 17. He is before all things. That means he must have first place. And by him all things consist, or one version says, are held together. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Mark this now, that in all things he might have, mark it, the preeminence. That in all things, mark it, he, Jesus, might have, mark it, the preeminence. Here's the point. Jesus wants to be preeminent in your life. Now, hold your finger there. We're coming back here. Go with me to St. John chapter 1. We'll go back to Colossians in a moment. Go to John chapter 1, verse 1. St. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the what? Everybody say the Word. Now, this is interesting. You know, in the Genesis chapter 1, as I said, it says, In the beginning, God. Now, all of a sudden, it's saying here, in the beginning, the Word. Everybody say, the Word is God. Everybody say, God is the Word. All right, now let's look at this. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he was saying, same God, two personalities. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. He was with God, but he also was God, the Word. Everybody say the Word. All right, now look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Now, we just got through reading that in Colossians. Verse 3. All things were made by him. All of a sudden now, the Word has become a him. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, just skip over to verse 14. St. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made what? All right. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now look at me. Jesus is the name. Jesus of Nazareth is the name that we give to the Word made flesh. I want to ask you, when did the Word become flesh? When did the Word become flesh? When Jesus was born. Is that when the Word began? The Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God. But the Word then became what? flesh when Jesus was born in a manger. Now, go back to Colossians, and we're going to read it in a little different light. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him, can I just put the Word? That's fair, isn't it? The Word? He is the Word. The Word became flesh. All right, verse 16. For by the Word were all things created. Well, we just got through reading that in John, didn't we? St. John chapter 1. For by the Word were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, power. All things were created by the Word. I'm not going to put that in there. And for Him, or for the Word. And the Word is before all things, and by the Word all things consist. Now here's my point. In your life, you must get this revelation that it's the Word of God that must have preeminence in your life. Not only Jesus the Word, but you must also have what Jesus has taught, what Jesus has said, the Word, the spoken Word, that must have preeminence in your life if you are going to have victory as a believer. There are so many Christians that put other things as preeminent above the Word. Now let's read on here, verse 17. And He is, the Word is before all things, and by Him, by the Word, all things consist. Verse 18. And He, the Word, is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, did everybody say all things? That in all things He, the Word, might have the preeminence. That in all things He, the Word, might have the preeminence. Now my prayer is that through our study tonight and the other sessions that we've had, my prayer is that if you have not had this revelation, this illumination break forth into your consciousness, that you will have it. And that is, in order for you to have victory, the Word, Jesus, and what Jesus has taught, the Word must have the preeminence in your life. Now, you know that's easy to preach about, but let me just kind of poke around on that a little bit. It's amazing how many people put other things as preeminent in their life. They'll put visions above, really, the Word. They'll put dreams. Oh, brother, I had a dream. I mean, they're always having dreams. Oh, I had a feeling. How many people do you know that really keep the Word preeminent? Most people have feelings preeminent in their life. Oh, if I feel God, I feel God. If I feel the anointing, I feel the anointing. It's amazing how many things you can discover that Christians have put as preeminent in their life instead of the Word. Let's all say this out loud. The Word
must take
first place. In my life. By the Word, all things are held together. Now, you know, if you don't have the Word of God as preeminent in your life, not only the person Jesus, but also that which Jesus has communicated that we have recorded here as the Word, the written Word, if you don't have that as preeminent in your life, you will be subject to everything flying apart. You know, if somebody comes up and says to you this, you know, last night, Jesus walked in my room, or an angel walked in my room. You hear this all the time. You know, an angel appeared to me and said this and that and to me and so forth like that. How would you know if they're telling the truth or not? You must have the Word of God preeminent in your life, and you must hold it up next to the Word, the preeminence of the Word, or you are subject to deception. Entire religions have been based on some guy saying, you know, an angel showed up and gave me some gold plates, and well, where are those gold plates? Well, he took them back to heaven, but I copied them before he took them back to heaven. I mean, you know, who's to say? Who's to say? And it's amazing how many Christians, they get so goofy. Oh, Brother Jason, I had a dream last night. No, you didn't. You just ate too much pizza. That's what happened to you. You just had heartburn and you ate too much pizza, and you think you're hearing God, and you didn't hear God. And people will come up with some of the most goofy things. And they'll go to meetings, you know, and they'll say things that are not even, you can't even find these things in the Word of God. You can't even find these type of experiences in the Word of God. Yet they will hold these up as the preeminent thing of their life. And I'm telling you, victory is in the Word. Healing is in the Word. Prosperity is in the Word. By the Word, all things consist, and by the Word, all things are held together. It's the Word of God. The Word of God that's going to give you the victory. Nothing else will give you the victory. It's the Word of God. You say, well, Jason, can't God speak? Yes, God can speak, but He will never contradict the Word of God that we have. That is your standard. That is your measurement. That is the ruler which you hold all things up to. And if it contradicts the Word of God, kick it out the door without a second thought. Kick it out the door without a second thought. So many times, you know, as a minister, I have people come up after meetings, "Oh, Brother Jason, you know, would you counsel with me?" You know, and they'll tell me some weird thing, you know, like that. "What do you say?" And I can just tell them like that. I mean, you don't want to be, you know, too rude to people, you know, but as I get older, I just kind of run out of patience. Amen. I've heard all these dreams before. It's like, okay, just stop right there. I don't want to hear any more. You know, cut right there. Time out. Why? Because it contradicts the Bible. It contradicts the Bible. And if it contradicts the Bible, I can just guarantee you, it's not God. I don't care how many angels showed up. I don't care if there's 10 angels dancing on the head of a pin. I don't care if they had 10 wings on their back and a halo around their head. It's not God. It's not God. Back to verse 18. And He, the Word, is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, is this true for your life? That in all things He, the Word, might have the preeminence. Now go with me to St. John 15, verse 7. Go back over to John, but let's go to chapter 15. You getting something out of this? See, this, you say, well, why is this important? Well, remember last night we talked about the instrument-rated Christian? Remember last night I began to talk to you about flying my airplane and how our airplane, you know, goes 200 miles an hour and it's highly equipped with all kinds of instruments. And there's two types of pilots. Some pilots know how to just fly by visual, what they see, ground marks, checkpoints. Then there's a whole other level of training called instrument training. Everybody say instrument training? You know, where you begin to learn to fly the airplane solely by reference to your instrument gauges. And we talked last night extensively about the instrument-rated Christian. Well, your instrument panel is the Word of God. Your instrument panel is the Word of God. Now, God can speak through a variety of other methods, but He will never violate the Word of God. And if you will keep the Word of God as preeminent in your life and measure everything by the Word of God, it will hold together in your life. The moment you violate that, you're getting on the wrong track, headed nowhere. Fast. St. John 15, and I want you to look at verse 7. Really? Jesus says it right here. Look at verse 7. If you abide in Me, and He's going to qualify it now. Look at this. If you abide in Me and My words. Everybody say My words. Everybody say Jesus' words. Watch this. The Word brings us His words. Did you get that? The Word brings us His words. Somebody says, well, where are His words? Look at me. Right here. Right here. The Word brings us His words. Where are His words? Right here. Now you see, we'd be subject to all kinds of bizarre things if it read this way. If you abide in Me, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If it just said, if you abide in Me, you could walk in the door and say, you know, Jesus came in my room and walked across the ceiling, actually. You know, and He told me this and that, you know, and He told me that. And oh, that was Jesus. Oh, Brother Jason, it was Jesus. Well, how do you know? Oh, I felt goosebumps. They went up my back, went down my spine, threw out my leg. Ooh, I tell you, I felt it. I floated across the room, you know, and Jesus spoke to me. I mean, just weird stuff. Who would I be to say? Unless I compare it to His words. His words. Look at verse 7. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so, yes, Jesus can speak by His Spirit. Yes, Jesus can at times speak through dreams or visions. Yes, Jesus can use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus can speak through a variety of means, but He will never violate the Word that He's given us. That must have preeminence in your life. Put your hands up. Stick them up, you know. Put your hands up. Everybody say this out loud. Jesus will have first place in my life. The Word will have preeminence in my life. Jesus and His Word will have first place. Oh Lord, give me the revelation, the power of Your Word in my life. Now, Father, I just thank You by the Holy Spirit for doing what I can't do. Let this revelation break forth into every one of our consciousness, where from this night forward, the Word of God has preeminence in our life. You see, as an instrument-rated pilot, and I mentioned this last night, I mean it violates every feeling you have. When you get in that airplane, and they train you by putting a visor or a hood over your head, and the hood comes out about this far, and the point of that is you can't look up. I mean, you'd have to really look up like this in order to see out the window of the airplane. They are training you with that hood to focus on the instrument panel. And I mean, every feeling in your body is saying, help, 911, help, SOS, mayday, mayday, I'm going down. Why? Because you feel like you're turning to the right. Or you feel like you're going down. Or you feel like you're going up. But they train you, keep on your instrument scan. Stay on your instrument scan. Don't get off of your instrument scan. They tell you, don't fixate just on one instrument. You scan the altimeter, then you scan the attitude indicator, and then you scan the vertical speed indicator, and then you scan this over here, and you scan that, and it all begins to paint a picture. These are not just individual dials. They begin to paint a picture. How high am I? What direction am I going in? Am I banking right, left? Am I ascending, descending? Am I going down at 500 foot a minute, 1,000 foot a minute, 100 foot a minute? What am I doing? It paints a picture. And in time, everybody say in time. See, as you make that instrument panel the preeminent part of your flying, you can still enjoy looking out the window on the days you can look out the window. Nothing wrong with that. But when you get in the soup, when you get in the haze, when you get in the drizzle, honey, I'm on my instruments. Why? Those instruments are going to get me to the point of my destination if I will keep the instruments as preeminent in my life. As preeminent in my life. Now, do you see the parallels? Do you see the parallels? Now, see, in the beginning, your feelings are screaming. In the beginning, your feelings, the first time that you really fly in the soup by yourself, I mean, you are shaking in your boots. It's one thing when the instructor is sitting there, because if you get in trouble, you just turn it over to the instructor. It's another thing when the instructor gets out of the plane and says, you know, today's a nice overcast day. Why don't you take it up and get about 2 hours on your own? You start thinking, well, let's see. My little boy's got a football game. My little girl's got a piano rehearsal. You start thinking about, hey, your feelings just going, no. And that's true when you first begin to live by faith. See, we are so accustomed to our feelings. We put other people first place. We'll put relationships first place. We want to put dreams first place. I just feel so sorry for people that just run from meeting to meeting trying to get a buzz, some feeling, a rush. You know, really, they might say, well, yeah, I live by faith. But to watch them and to listen to them, they don't really live by faith. They're living by experiences. They're living by, you know, feelings instead of the Word of God being preeminent in their life. Instead of the Word of God being preeminent in their life. How many of you determine you're going to have the Word of God preeminent in your life? Make that first place. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy 3. We're getting ready to shift gears a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to mark this in your notes. I want you to write this down. We're going to be talking about the fact that God's Word will equip you. It's the Word of God that will equip you. Visions won't equip you. They can be part of your guidance, but visions will not equip you. Oh, Brother Jason, that was such a wonderful meeting. I got stuck to the floor paralyzed for 3 hours. Well, you know, God might could do something that way, but here's the point. That's not going to equip you. Oh, Brother Jason, I was at the meeting. I'll tell you what, I got slain in the spirit. And it was wonderful. I didn't fall forward. I fell sideways that time. I mean, wow. You can hear all kind of weird stuff. Well, God could do that. I mean, God's power is awesome and it can do that. But that will not in the end equip you. God can touch you. God can, that won't equip you. It's the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's go to verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's look at verse 14. It says, now look at this. This is the Apostle Paul teaching young Timothy. Do you understand that? I mean, we're talking Paul. This guy is experienced. This guy had, you talk about revelations and experiences. I mean, Jesus personally came and taught the Apostle Paul. If anybody had a reason to brag about experiences, it would be Paul. But look what he points Timothy to. Verse 14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Would you circle the word learned? It is a learning process. It's not something you just get overnight. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast, mark the word again, learned them. It's a learning process. You must go to instrument school. You must learn to fly by faith. Verse 15. Paul says, and that from a child thou hast known, please mark this, the Holy Scriptures. There it is. Paul says, Timothy, I want to point you right back to your roots. I want you to point you right back to what's really going to make you a mighty man of God. It's what you've learned from a child. Thank God his mother and his grandmother had taught him the Scriptures. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, mark this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. How many of you want wisdom in your life? The Bible is so clear. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Doesn't say miracles is the principal thing. Doesn't say experiences is the principal thing. God can use those. But wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Look at that verse. The Scriptures. Father Jason, would you pray that I'd be more wise? Well, yeah, I can pray that you'd be more wise, but you need to get your head in the Word of God. Quit watching R-rated movies and quit, you know, listening to all this kind of dumb music. Everybody say dumb music.
Dumb.
And I'm including country western. I mean, you know, have you ever listened to some of that stuff?
Yes.
I mean, it's really, you know, really deep stuff. I mean, country western music is like, dan. I left my third mama for my fourth mama, dan. Hey, you know, my truck broke down and I can't get down. I mean, it's just really deep stuff. Everything we all need to have. I mean, just some of the names of the groups ought to tell you something. Megadeth. Everybody needs some of that. Megadeth. Yeah, okay, get you one of them. Poison. Oh, yeah, we need a little bit of that. Throw that at Twisted Sister. Need two or three of them running around the house. I mean, you know. The names of the groups ought to give you a little bit of tip-off. Oh, Brother Jason, would you pray that I'd be a wise Christian? I'll pray for it, but I'm going to pray that you'll get your head in the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that's going to make you wise. Look at verse 15. Able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, he's not just talking about once saved, always saved wisdom. Hey, Jason, I need saving tomorrow. Are you hearing me? I'm not talking about saving in the sense of going to heaven. I'm talking about there are situations and circumstances that I really don't know what to do. How many of you ever faced something you don't know what to do? You need wisdom. You need an answer. It could be business. I'm telling you, if you run a business, you need wisdom. You need financial wisdom. You need decision-making wisdom. If you're married, how many of you know you need wisdom there? Children. Dear God, we need wisdom raising children. It's the Scriptures that are able to give you wisdom. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Please mark this. And is profitable. Ooh, I like that. I like that. The Word of God will profit you. I've heard people say, oh, I'll tell you what, you better not read the Bible. Yeah, Aunt so-and-so read the Bible and she went crazy. You ever heard people talk like that? Oh, you better watch. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's able to make you wise and the Bible will profit you. How many of you want to be profited in life? How many of you want to be blessed in life? I mean, you know, the average person, if you were just to stop them on the street, just take a video camera out there sometime and interview people. And you stop them on the street. I'm talking, you know, Christian or non-Christian. They'd just say, what do you want out of life? The average person would just say, they might not use the term blessed, but they would say, well, I'd like the good life. I'd like to be happy. I mean, you're not going to meet anybody out there. Sir, what would you like? Well, I'd like to be defeated. I'd like to go bankrupt, and I'd like to die early. I mean, nobody says that. Everybody basically says, you know, I'd like to profit. I'd like to get ahead in life. Look at the word there. Look what we just read. It says it's able to make you wise and it is profitable. Everybody say profitable.
Profitable.
All right. Look at verse 16. Profitable for what? For doctrine or teaching. It'll teach you the right things. For reproof, when you've missed it, it'll show you where you've missed it. But not only will it show you where it missed it, mark the word correction. It'll show you how to get back on the right track. See, there's a difference between reproof and correction. Reproof says you missed it. But I'm so glad God didn't just come along and say, Jason, you missed it. I'm so glad the Word of God, Jesus, comes along and says, Jason, you missed it, but here's how to get on the right track. Correction. And mark this. And instruction. Not only here's how to get back on the right track, here's how to do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. He'll instruct me in it. Look at verse 17. Now, here's the point. We're talking about the Word of God will equip you. The Word of God will equip you. Look at verse 17. That the man of God, the woman of God, how many of you want to be man and woman of God? That the man of God or the woman of God may be, mark it, perfect, that means mature, underline this, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What does thoroughly furnished mean to you? It means that you have everything you need to get the job done. You know, it's one thing to buy a big spanking brand new house. How many of you would like to have a big brand new spanking house? It's another thing to furnish it. You know, that's usually the challenge after you get it. Now watch this. Most Christians, you know, they've got the house. I mean, they're saved, they're on the way to heaven, but they are not furnished. You walk in and it's empty. What will furnish it? The Word. Everybody say the Word. Everybody say the Scriptures. That's why preeminent. The preeminence of the Word of God in your life. The preeminence of the Word of God in your life. The preeminence of the Word of God in your life. That's what will furnish you. Experiences will not furnish you. Feelings will not furnish you. Paul says, and listen, Paul had been around the block. I mean, this is the guy that traveled all the known world. He had been shipwrecked and survived. He had been beat and survived. He had started churches all over that part of the world and survived. And he says, Timothy, I want to tell you the trick to the trade. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Fly by instruments. Fly by instruments. Go with me to 1 Timothy. Just hang a left. Go to 1 Timothy. Hang a left. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And let's read a few verses here. Go with me to verse 12. Now, Timothy was a young man. And I guess, you know, when you're young, other people think, you know, you don't know anything. How many of you know that's true, those of you who are young? And so Timothy was a little bit intimidated, and I'm sure people treat him like, you know, what do you know? You know, you're young, you don't know much. Look at verse 12. Look what he says. You young people, you mark this. Let no man despise thy youth. Did you know God can use you when you're young? Did you know God wants to get hold of you when you're young? I once heard somebody say this, and I believe it's so true. It's not God's best to have to go and rebuild men and women. God's best is not to get hold of you when you're 55 years old and you've been beat up and divorced five times and you're so messed up and your, you know, brains are scrambled like eggs and then try to help you. God can do that, but God's best is to get hold of you when you're young. Get hold of you when you're young. He says, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers. Now mark these things: in word, in behavior, the conversation there means behavior, in love, in spirit, that would mean attitudes. How many of you want the attitudes of the Lord? In spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, may I pause here? Look at verse 12 again. Is that a tall order or what? I mean, let's don't just read that. Let's look at it. How many of you really want to be an example in the way you talk, the way you act, your attitudes, love, purity, your character? How are we going to do that? Everybody say how.
How?
Everybody say how.
How?
I'm glad you asked that. Let's look at the next verse or two. He says in verse 13, here's how you do it. He says, Timothy, here's the deal, buddy. Till I come, mark this, give attendance, mark it, to reading. Reading what? The Scriptures. To reading. To exhortation, to teaching. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Mark verse 15. Meditate. Circle the word meditate. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself occasionally to them. Is that what yours says? Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. Give thyself wholly. Everybody say wholly. Everybody say entirely. Completely. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them. Mark it. Here's that word again. That thy profiting may appear to all. Now, I want you to mark the next phrase. Take heed unto thyself. Please mark that. Take heed unto thyself. Look at me. God is saying to you, take heed unto yourself. How do you take heed unto yourself? Start reading the Word of God. Start exhorting, that is, sharing the Word of God with others. Get into the teaching of God's Word. Think about what Jesus has spoken to you by His Spirit, whether it's through prophecy or dreams, as long as it lines up with the Word of God. Review the things that you know you've heard God. Meditate upon them. Everybody say meditate. In other words, get your thinking occupied with what Jesus has said, both in the written Word of God and by the Spirit. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Don't get sidetracked. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Go straight forward, that your profiting may appear to all. Now look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy teaching. Continue. There's the big word. Mark it. A lot of people, they know how to, 5 minutes once a month. He says continue. We got too many sparkler Christians. You know what a sparkler Christian is? They show off for about, all of 60 seconds. And they're out. We got a lot of bottle rocket Christians. Make a big little bang. We need some marathon runners, folks. We need some people that don't just know how to run around the track once. We need some people that are in the race to stay. They're meditating in the Word. They're staying in the Scripture. They've made the Word of God the preeminence in their life. They're not sidetracked by every wind of doctrine. Can I just paraphrase that? They're not chasing rabbits. They're not out there. Every little fad that comes down the pike, they're going for that. Let's run to this meeting. Let's run to that. They're staying in the Word of God. They're staying in the Word of God. He says in verse 16, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save, mark it, thyself. Now he's talking to a saved man. He's saying, Timothy, you'll save yourself from wrong decisions. You'll save yourself from getting in the ditch. He says, you'll save yourself and them that hear thee. Now I want to tell you this true story, absolutely true story in my life, where I began to discover the preeminence of God's Word. I was a Christian. I loved God. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was a student already at Oral Roberts University. But I did not have the revelation that the Word of God is the source for everything good from God. I love God with my heart. I did read the Bible, but it was like I just didn't have that click in my life that the Word of God was the key for victory. The Word of God was the key for prosperity. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God must have preeminence. And I'll tell you, having grown up with my daddy, remember I told you that as an alcoholic? And my daddy was a good man. It's not like he drank every minute of his life, but it got progressively worse. And my dad, when he would drink, he'd get violent and abusive verbally, and at times physically. And so I had depression attach itself to me, and it wasn't even my fault. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, just by virtue of the way you're raised sometimes, you can pick up things that you really didn't choose to be around. And so, you get around arguing, you get around screaming, you get around somebody that's an alcoholic. I mean, things are getting off on you. How many of you know the devil doesn't play fair? And so I found myself at an early age going through what I called depression. I now know it was oppression from the enemy, but I really thought, something was wrong with my brain. I mean, I thought, well, it could be nutrition. I went the nutrition route. Well, maybe it's nutrition. And at times that could be. I thought, well, maybe it's some kind of chemical imbalance, And I studied along those lines. And I actually, talk about a bad confession. I would actually say this, here comes my cloud. Now that's about as bad a confession as you can get, Here comes my cloud, because it's like I'd go for 3 weeks and I would be what I'd call normal, just, and then it was like this heavy oppression. I'm not talking about just normal mood swings. I'm talking about a cloud would come on me to the point it would almost incapacitate my ability to even go to classes. And I would say, here comes my cloud. And I'm telling you, thank God for His grace. Everybody say, thank God for His grace. I wish I'd had the teaching that I have tonight. If I had the teaching then that I have tonight, I could have gotten the victory quicker. If I had known about the preeminence of God's Word. But the Holy Spirit came to me and just began to share in my heart. And I was impressed by the Lord to memorize Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. It took me months to do it. And what I did is I took little note cards and I'd write 3 or 4 verses and I'd keep one in my pocket and then I'd keep 2 in my pocket. Then I'd keep 3 and I built up, a little catalog of these cards. And on my way to class, I would just memorize 2 or 3 verses. And so, it took me weeks and actually months to get through Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. And those of you that may be familiar with those passages, those are difficult passages to say the least. But I believe they're really the heartbeat of the New Testament. And so as I memorized those, watch this, I did not realize what was taking place. But the Word of God was coming into my soul. The Word of God began to take a grip on my personality. My soul began to be washed by the Word of God. My soul, my emotions, my feelings, all those memories began to come under the influence of God's Word. That cloud began to get nervous. that cloud began to get nervous. And for the first time in my life, it dawned on me, I'm not dealing with a mood. I'm dealing with a wicked spirit. And the Lord showed me. I mean, the blinders came off and I realized this was a demon from hell of oppression that gained entrance through the way my family had gone, my mom and my dad. And I was dealing with a personality, not just a chemical or nutritional imbalance. And I began to deal with it as a personality and speak to it and command it to go, and I'd get relief. That word. And I don't want to dramatize this too much, but I am telling you exactly what happened. I was walking across Oral Roberts University campus one day, and I was just going over these verses, and I'd go through them in my mind. And this cloud, this personality of depression, had so incapacitated me and tormented me, I literally fell on my knees walking across the campus. I just fell down, and I sensed that demon leave me, and it's never been back. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you don't have the normal mood swings and some days where you don't feel good and so forth, but nothing like I used to experience where I would be physically, almost physically incapacitated. You say, well, Jason, what happened? The Word of God healed me.
Amen.
The Word of God delivered me. You say, well, you didn't have somebody come up and lay hands on you and say, in Jesus' name, come out. The Word drove it out.
Amen.
The Word of God drove it out. Now, I remember Norville Hayes. How many of you ever heard of Norville Hayes? I remember Norville Hayes telling this story. And he said that this mother had brought her daughter, who was just like psychotic, into his office. And, you know, this girl would lay in the fetal position all curled up, and she'd scream at times. And, I mean, the girl was just, you know, really ready for a sanatorium somewhere. And they bring her to him. He said the Holy Spirit led him to, she was laying in the floor, curled up in the fetal position, and she was, you know, making growling noises. I mean, she was just, you know, she was just demon-possessed. I mean, she was a mess. And she had been into sexual immorality and drugs and been abused and just on and on you go. And, I mean, she was really ready to be put in some, you know, psychiatric ward somewhere and put on drugs and left there the rest of her life, I guess. The Holy Spirit, let me see your Bible there if you would, Leah. The Holy Spirit led Norval Hayes to just stand over this young girl and just read the Bible with enthusiasm, read the Bible with emphasis. He said, I read for 10 minutes, nothing happened. He said, I read for 20 minutes, nothing happened. I read for 40 minutes, nothing happened. I read for 60 minutes, nothing happened. Some of the people in my office left. I read for 2 hours, nothing happened. I read for 3 hours, nothing happened. He said, I'm telling you, he said, most of you would give up after reading 3 or 4 minutes. This went on for several hours, and then this girl gave a blood-curdling scream, and she stood up, instantly delivered, healed by just the presence and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God has preeminence over principalities, powers, visible and invisible. The Word of God must have preeminence in the believer's life.
Amen.
There's power in the Word. There's power in the Word. The Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. Go back and look at it. Verses 15 and 16. 1 Timothy 4. Paul says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself holy. Authority may appear at all. Take heed unto thyself. And I want to challenge you tonight. Look at me. Take heed to yourself. What are you spending your time doing? Come on. Be honest. Be honest. Don't play spiritual. You spend 6 hours watching TV and, you know, 10 minutes a week reading the Bible, and you wonder why things are falling apart. By the Word of God, all things hold together, not by TV. Well, I wonder why I'm so depressed, you know. Well, quit listening to the, you know, rock and roll music. Quit listening to country western music, you know, 3 hours a day. And you don't have time to read the Word of God. That's why your brain's so scrambled, I'll tell you right now. It's by the Word of God that all things consist and are held together. It's by the Word of God. It's by the Word of God. It's by the Word of God. All right, 1 Corinthians 6. You getting something tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I'm shifting gears again, and I hope that you'll make this notation there in your notebook. We talked about God's Word will equip you And I want to just shift gears a little bit. God's Word will heal and stabilize you. Write that down. God's Word will heal and stabilize you. I just gave you my own personal testimony where I believe God's Word healed me and stabilized me. And that's true not only way back then, but that's true today. Listen, if Jason Peebles today, look at me, I don't care if you're an evangelist, if you're ordained, if you've been to Bible school and on you go. If Jason Peebles today quits reading and studying and meditating in the Word of God, if Jason Peebles today starts giving meditation and attention to the wrong things, Jason Peebles will not only lose his stability, he'll become unstable, and instead of healing, Jason will be sick. Amen. That's why you don't need to watch those sitcoms. Mm-hmm. Make you sick. That's why you don't watch those things. All right, go with me to 1 Corinthians 6. I mean, they tell you right up front, they're sick comes. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6. Let's go to verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Now, this is amazing. This is an amazing passage. You know, somebody says, well, you know, those church people, they don't have any problems. All those church people, you know, they're raised with silver spoons in their mouth. Who are you kidding? Let's read this. Verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I don't care if you're a member of a church. I don't care if you've been baptized in lemon juice 5 times. I don't care if you have a little plaque on your wall that says you're sanctified. Look what it says. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. That means any type of sexual immorality. He says, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that would be homosexual, lesbian, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, neither thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what I want you to read is the next verse. Put a star by the next verse. Look what Paul says. And such were some of you. That's what the church is made up. The church is made up of former thieves, adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals, lesbians. The Word of God can deliver the vilest sinner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God can deliver the vilest sinner. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you, and mark this, but you are washed. Everybody say washed. Amen. He says, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now look at me. Remember, we talked about the washing of water by the what?
Word.
By the Word. Write that down if you weren't with us. That's Ephesians chapter 5. We'll not turn there. But that's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. It says, the washing of water by the what? Say it. The Word. Everybody say the Word. The Word. Everybody say the Word. Somebody says, well, I just believe the Holy Spirit can do it. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word. When the Holy Spirit genuinely works in a believer's life, he will always use the Word. That is the weapon of the Spirit. That is the weapon of the Spirit. Write that reference down. That's Ephesians 6, verse 17. That's Ephesians 6, verse 17. Now, here's my point. You can be messed up. It's very possible that you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you still have addictions in your life. I'm preaching the truth right now. There are Christians, I'm talking people that really love God, that still have addictions to substance abuse in their life. People that still have addictions to perversion because of their past lifestyle. People that still have addictions to stealing. People that still have addictions and habits in their life that don't honor God. But I'm telling you, you can get washed of that. You can get washed of that. Jason, how can I get delivered? How can I get washed? It's the Word. It's the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and scrubbing your personality, going in there and dividing in the emotions and dividing between your thinking and beginning to rearrange the furniture in your life. The furniture in your life. Hebrews chapter 4. Quickly, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Do you remember that one? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. May I paraphrase that? It's sharper than any scalpel. You know, scalpels used to be like the sharpest instrument. Now they do laser surgery. See, for a couple of years, I worked as a surgical assistant. I've been in all types of operations. I've been in general surgery. I've helped do cardiovascular surgery. I've helped do open heart surgery. I've helped do brain surgery. I've been a part of a lot of different surgery, and it's amazing. They'll use microscopes. They've got microscopes when they're doing brain surgery or cardiovascular surgery. The surgeon will actually have a microscope, and he's looking through a microscope, and he's doing such delicate procedures. Now they've even gotten finer. They use lasers. I mean, lasers can cut on the cellular level. The scalpel can cut, you know, between organ systems or between tissue, but the laser can cut on the cellular level. Now look at that verse. The Word of God is sharper than that. The Word of God can go in where no scalpel or laser can go. It says, look at it, verse 12. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even, mark it, to the dividing asunder. Now you need to mark this, of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you know that if you have hang-ups in stealing, or if you have hang-ups in sexual perversion, or if you have hang-ups in any area, the Word of God can go in and cut right in there. And the Holy Spirit will follow right behind the Word of God, and He'll wash you. He will deliver you. He will straighten you up. But you've got to submit yourself to it. You know, if the patient doesn't show up, the surgeon can't do a whole lot. Oh, we've got the equipment. Yes, sir, we've got the equipment. We've got the laser surgery. Could you help me? Yes, we can. Do I have to be there? Huh? I mean, you know, we think somebody like that would be crazy. You know, the doctor, the surgeon would just think somebody like that. You know, man, boy, you know, their elevator don't go all the way to the top. You know what I'm saying? I mean, something's wrong with them. Can we do it by telephone? No, you can't. You've got to get up on the table and you've got to let the doctor, Jesus, operate. Jesus is there. The Holy Ghost is there. Scalpel. Scalpel. When Jesus says scalpel, this is what is put in His hand.
Amen.
The Word of God is able to divide asunder between soul. What's your soul? Everybody say my mind.
Amen.
See, the word soul in the original is psyche, where we get psychology. He's saying it can cut into your psyche. It can go into the emotions, into the thinking, cut so fine and get right in there where you were damaged through an alcoholic father, or you were damaged through a wrong relationship, or you were damaged through things that you shouldn't have been doing before you were saved, or even after you were saved. The Holy Spirit can cut right in there and fix you. Everybody say, I can be fixed. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I can be fixed. Amen. 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 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Isn't this good? The Word of God is so, so rich. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 10. While you're turning there, I'll tell you another story, true story. And this fellow is a minister, by the way. And you just ought to hear his testimony sometime. But prior to walking with the Lord, he lived the life of a homosexual. And, you know, there's reasons why he got into that lifestyle and so forth. And he's very honest and up front about this. And he lived the lifestyle of a homosexual. And, you know, I can't really relate to that. And most guys can't relate to that. But, you know, he said, I had desires for men. He said, so what I thought I'd do is there was this lady that began to help him. And he said, what I thought I would do is I thought that I would get married to her and maybe that would make my desires change and I wanted to be normal. He said, so I got married and she led him to the Lord. Now, he's a Christian, but he said, I still fought these desires. And he said, I was so messed up on the inside. And he found himself still gravitating, to the wrong crowd, to the wrong crowd. But he said, the Word of God. Everybody say, the Word of God. He got hold of the preeminence of the Word of God. He got hold of what we're talking about, the washing of water by the Word of God. And he said, in time, the Word of God came in, and the Word of God healed me. And the Word of God not only straightened his thinking out, the Word of God actually changed his feelings. Where he now, his feelings were normal. Instead of inordinate affection, he had normal affection toward his wife. And this guy is a minister of the gospel now, and he goes all over the country, and he has a ministry of deliverance. And so many times, homosexuals will show up, and they get delivered through his teaching and his delivering ministry. It's amazing how our hang-ups God ends up using as our strengths. Did you hear me? It's amazing how our hang-ups, once healed, become God's very trophy of grace. See, I have authority over depression. I have probably a greater degree of authority over depression than the average person. Why? I have walked through that area and I have victory. And what you have victory over, you have authority in. Write that down. What you have victory over, you have authority in. What you have gained victory over, you have authority in. That's why the Bible says, Paul said, I delight in my weaknesses. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Now, what's he saying there? He's saying those areas that used to be weak, that I've submitted, I got on my operating table and Jesus has healed me of, that weakness is now a trophy of God's grace in my life. It's a strength. It's a strength. It's a strength. All right, let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at beginning with verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Everybody say mighty through God.
Mighty.
How many of you believe the Word of God is mighty? How many of you believe the Word of God is powerful? Sharper than a two-edged sword. He said in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I want you to mark the phrase strongholds. Mark that in your Bible. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Would you mark the word imaginations? Or some of your versions may say reasonings. Either way. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, mark this phrase, every thought. Every thought to the obedience of who?
Christ.
Now here's the progression. Look at me. And kind of look at what I had you mark there. Thoughts lead to imaginations, and imaginations lead to strongholds. Look at the text we just read there. Start with me in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, and go work your way up. Every thought to the obedience. Thoughts always build imaginations, and imaginations always lead to strongholds. Now that's true whether they're good or bad. What you think about, look at me, what you think about, what you meditate on, you watch R-rated movies, you read romance novels, you get your mind all concentrating on perversion, what you think about, I guarantee it will build imaginations, pictures, images in your mind. And if you meditate and hold those images, they will build what the Bible calls strongholds. In other words, it becomes habits. It gets a grip on your life. It's like a castle in your brain and in your soul that the enemy can reside in. And the enemy will traffic in and out of this castle, and he traffics to do destruction in your life. Now, Paul says, we understand this process, and we have the weapons that are mighty to change it. How do we change it? Change your thinking. How do you change your thinking, Timothy? Give yourself to what you've learned in the Word of God that's able to make you wise into salvation. How do you change your thinking, Timothy? Meditate. Give thyself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. You change your thinking by getting in the Word of God. Watch this. Your thinking will change the images, the imaginations, the reasoning processes of your mind. And it will pull down the wrong strongholds and build up the right strongholds, where now Jesus is trafficking in and out of that castle.
Amen.
Jesus is trafficking out to give you prosperity, victory, healing, blessings, a family that's going to stay together instead of go apart. Jesus is going to build up a stronghold in your life. Put your hand right here on your head. Everybody do it. I know it seems to. Everybody say, my thinking belongs to God. I want to fill my mind with God's Word. My imaginations should belong to God. Strongholds in my life should be God's. You know, people say, oh my God, how did he end up like that?
You ever hear people talk about, oh my God, how did Johnny end up doing that? I'll tell you how Johnny ended up doing that. He got his thinking messed up. His thinking led to imaginations, and it was just a matter of time until that stronghold went into operation and caused him to rob the store or murder the person or do whatever he did. It didn't just happen overnight. He's not just walking down the road one day, zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. Hey, my, oh my, what? Ah, I think I'll rob this store. That's not how it happens. Silly. It happens with a thought. It happens being around the wrong people. It happens by watching the wrong movies, listening to the wrong music. It happens by your thinking getting messed up, and your thinking leads to imaginations and pictures and wrong kind of dreaming. And that stronghold is there. That stronghold is there. The Word of God will absolutely revolutionize the imaginations of your mind and heart and the strongholds in your life. Last passage. Go with me to Psalm 119. We're going to finish here. Psalms 119. You learning something tonight? Faith and feelings, keys for stability. Faith and feeling, keys for stability. You must have in your life the preeminence of God's Word. And I'll tell you, there's never been a day, I don't think, where it needs to be more so. There are so many goofy things coming down the pike in churches, people that are going through all kind of weird experiences. And if you don't have the Word of God preeminent in your life, you're just subject to being led astray, getting over in a ditch somewhere. Now, Psalms 119, before we read some of these verses, would you just look and see how many verses are in Psalms 119? Just kind of flip around there and look. 176! Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
Let's say it backwards. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
You can go either way with that one. W-O-W. Amen. Turn upside down and say, Mom. Wow, Mom. All right. 176 verses. Look at me. I think God's trying to get a point across. The psalmist has 176 verses on the power of the Word. I think that should tell us a little tip-off here of what's important. Now, we don't have time to read all of this. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
It's getting late. But Psalms 119, follow me. I'm going to go very quickly, but just follow me. And I want to just hit some of the high points. And I thought this was a wonderful way to conclude our message on the preeminence of God's Word. Look at the revelation that this man had about the Word of God. Quickly now, Psalm 119, go with me to verse 9. I'll call the verses out and read them, and you just follow me. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man or young woman cleanse his way? Mark this, by taking heed according to thy what? To thy word. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Brother Jason, how could I have more power over sin? I just seem to be so tempted. Get in the word. Get in the word. Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Have you ever felt depressed? I have. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. It's the word of God that will strengthen your soul. Quickly, go to verse 50. Go to verse 50. This is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. What do you do when you feel afflicted? What do you do when you feel downcast? It's the word. Everybody say the word. Go to verse 65. Go to verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord. Mark it, according to thy word. O Lord, would you deal with me? Would you profit me according to thy word? Go to verse 92. Quickly, verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. David said, man, if I hadn't had the word preeminent, I would have perished in mine affliction. Verse 97. I'm going to read 97 through verse 100. These are so good. Mark verse 97 through 100. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Everybody say the word.
The word.
Everybody say the word.
The word.
Must have preeminence. Go to verse 105. Verse 105. There's a song written based off of this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Go to verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Go to verse 129 and 130. Verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Go to verse 147 and 148. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. He said, I was up before the sun, hoping in your word. Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. You wonder why David was so successful? He had the revelation of the preeminence of God's word. Why was David so successful and mighty? He had the preeminence of God's word, the revelation in his life. Go to Psalms 106, or verse 162. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Ooh, I like that. How many of you get excited if you found a treasure chest buried in your backyard? I know you'd get excited. David said, man, I'm just as excited about the word of God. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And the last one we'll read, 165. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what the Hebrew says there? Nothing shall offend them. The original language. It says, great peace have they which love thy law. They shall have no stumbling block. Nothing will trip them up. Nothing can stop them. Nothing can defeat them. Why? The word, the word, the word. That's your key for stability. Faith over feelings. Faith over feelings. Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated, and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check,
write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.